Hello, and welcome to today's Heathrow results for the 9 months to the 30th September 2017. And throughout this, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this is being recorded. And today I'm pleased to pass you over to Javier Echeverría. Please begin.
Welcome to everyone. I'm here today in the Heathrow Compass Centre headquarters, literally opposite Terminal 3. Just a few seconds ago, we had a big 747 departing from our Terminal 3. Again, we have another busy day of operation. And with me in the room, I have my team. Well, just a reminder, of course, I'm Javier Chávez, Chief Financial Officer. And with me, I have Cara Rodbedi, Treasury Analyst, Christelle Louvin, that Investor Relations Manager, and Andrew Ethion, Director of Treasury. And my intention for the next few minutes is to give you an update of all the operational, financial, and also strategic highlights of what we have been doing during the last 9 months and also the plans for the months to come. Before starting, of course, I would like to remind all attendees that you can follow our presentation through the link provided in the invitation as well as directly via our website. So I will start the presentation on slide two. Slide two summarizes all the things we have been doing in the last 9 months and how it has crystallized in measurable outcomes. We have continued to have a strong performance through 2017 across all the different dimensions, operationally, financially, as well as strategically. And I would like to start always talking about service. We have achieved record service standards in the third quarter while welcoming even more passenger customers. So we saw a record 59.1 million passengers choosing to travel through Heathrow during the first nine months of 2017, which was up 3.1% versus the same period last year. And at the same time, we saw cargo performance continue to grow, accelerating to volumes of around 10.5% larger than last year. Moving on to a more financial dimension, of course, that increasing volume is translated into a very robust performance, and we continue to see strong revenue generation that, together with a firm cost discipline, a wider and a stronger global investor base, contributes to generate a profitable bottom line. And at the same time, critical, we are doing this by delivering lower prices to passenger customers. So when looking at the different components of the P&L, you can see in the slide that revenues of 2.2 billion went up 3.2%, while aeronautical charges per passenger was down 2.1%. Operating costs in the period were down 3.6% on a per passenger basis and reached an absolute invoice of £814 million. And when linking all those two pieces together, generated an EBITDA of 1.347 million, which was up almost 6% previous prior period. On the financing side, we also have another successful year, and in 2017, we have managed to raise over £1 billion of financing. So as you can see, all this combination is providing our strong license to operate, which is underpinning our license to grow. And the good news is expansion of Heathrow remains on track. We have seen good progress in terms of governmental processes, and we remain on track for the final national policy statement to be submitted to a vote in the first half of 2018. Also, shortly we will discuss that we have made good progress on the regulatory side as well as continue developing our supply chain strategy. Turning to traffic performance on slide three, as previously said, 2017 continues to bring the strongest traffic growth we have seen for several years here at Heathrow. Traffic reached a record high of 59.1 million passengers, which is more than 3% increase on prior periods. And the drivers behind that is clearly fuller aircraft with average load factors at a record high of 78.5%. If we look in the map in the slide, the contribution by markets, we can see a very well-diversified and healthy picture illustrating the strength of Heathrow as a global hub. Looking at long-haul remains the key driver of growth, with traffic up 3.5%, primarily driven by Middle East and Asia-Pacific, and again illustrates the underlining Heathrow's critical role as the UK's only hub airport connecting Britain to critical emerging markets. Also, short-haul performed very well, with meaningful increases in continental European traffic, up 2.6%, as well as a boost in domestic traffic, up 3%. And the drivers behind this is a combination of new domestic tariff discounts, as well as successful operation on Flybe, our new airline operating since the beginning of this year, opening new services to Scotland, specifically Aberdeen and Edinburgh. I mentioned cargo. Cargo was up with an impressive 10.5% over the period, and it saw notable growth in both North America and Middle East. And again, this reinforces the idea and the contribution of Heathrow to the UK, and we continue being the biggest port, carrying over 30% by value of the UK's non-European exports. So all these things together summarizes we had a fantastic and excellent performance in the first 9 months of 2017. And in fact, when looking to the 12-month rolling traffic, exceeded for first time 77 million passengers, in specifically 77.4 million at the end of September, which suggests that our full-year traffic outturn is likely to exceed the 76.7 million passenger outlook that we provided in our June investor report. Flight 4 demonstrates Heathrow's continued resilience and our growth potential, and this is despite the severe capacity constraints that we are still facing. When benchmarking to other European hubs, it's indeed a quite remarkable performance to handle our current level of traffic growth while operating only two runways compared to other major European hubs, which all operate between 3 to 6 runways. Which means that when comparing the operational throughput by runway, the chart helps to appreciate the operational excellence of Heathrow while at the same time delivering record levels of service and resilience. Conversely, the slide also shows the growth potential that is out there when Heathrow will be able to access with expansion. Slide 5 illustrates our robust operational performance, which is aiming a simple ambition shared by all the companies working at Heathrow. We're aiming to serve happy passengers traveling with their bags on time. And you can see the different components of that performance in the chart. Starting with service, Heathrow continued to deliver a record passenger service level in Q3. In the latest quarter of 2017, we have achieved a 4.14 airport service quality rating for overall passenger satisfaction, which is our highest Q3 score on record, and putting us well ahead of other major European hubs. When looking at the other operational variables, we deliver not only a better but also a more resilient operation, with 81% flights departing within 15 minutes of schedule compared to 79% in the same period last year. Finally, on baggage performance also improved meaningfully as well, with 99% of bags connecting with their owners on time. Let's now turn on expansion on slide 6 and what should be hopefully now a very familiar timetable to our credit community. The simple message to summarizing this slide is that we are getting on with expansion and we continue moving forward our expanding agenda. You will notice the addition of a new pink box in our timetable, specifically in the top row, the third box starting from the left, after the government launched earlier this week an additional short period of consultation on the draft MPS. This additional consultation was already briefed by publicized by government in previous months, so there are no surprises. So apart from that addition to include for public consultation extra information now served by government, the overall timetable remains broadly unchanged. Moving to slide 7, let me give you some more details on what has and will soon come up with expansion, including on that second consultation. First of all, and in terms of recent developments, the government renewed its support for expansion following the recent snap election, and as previously said, this week, government launched a further consultation on the national policy statement that will conclude just before Christmas, specifically on the 19th of December this year. This second consultation is on a revised draft national policy statement, which, among other things, incorporates updated aviation demand forecast, and as well as the final air quality plan from government that were not available when the first consultation was held. Additionally, the Transport Select Committee has also reconvened and will shortly start its scrutiny of this second NPS consultation. As part of this development, the government has confirmed that they expect to submit the final national policy statement to a parliamentary vote in the first half of 2018. And in this regard, we continue tracking that our expansion plans remain well supported, with over 70% cross-party political support, in addition to the ongoing backing from major businesses groups and unions. In the meantime, we have also responded to the government for evidence earlier this year, and which was the first step forward developing a new aviation strategy for the UK. On parallel, regulation continues progressing, and it's worth noting that in late September, we submitted our response to the CAA's recent consultation on expansion regulatory framework. As you will remember from our previous results back in July, a number of areas are open for debate, and this includes things like the recent further extension of Q6 into Q6 plus 2, ending in 2020, a partial or a full indexation of our cost debt allowance, a potential move from RPI to CPI-based regulation beyond 2025, and clarity on early Category C costs, which are category costs associated with construction of expansion. The CA has indicated as well that there will be further consultation on these areas by the end of 2017. Finally, I'm moving to other recent expansion milestones. We continue engaging with our airline partners, which are critical to the success of Heathrow expansion. And we continue working together on designing scope, design, costing. And we are very pleased to see that the CAA has recognized the joint effort and the strength of this engagement through their latest Section 16 report. We also look forward to the CAA next interim assessment on airline engagement in the months to come. In terms of other positive developments, we were delighted with the absolutely overwhelming number of expressions of interest received from across Britain to become one of our logistic hubs, which will help build an expanded Heathrow. We have got more than 120 expressions of interest, which we will announce in the next year what are the winning sites for these purposes. These logistics hubs, of course, will be pioneering off-site manufacturing, as well as helping to reduce the cost of expansion while boosting jobs across the country and overall helping the overall construction industry in the UK. We have also held 4 business summits this year, with another 3 scheduled before the end of the year. And these business summits will form an integral part of our commitment to create jobs in all regions of the UK. Expansion will not be a project for the Southeast, will be a project for the whole country. And this will help businesses establish contact with our biggest suppliers and win contracts as we ready ourselves for expansion. Moving on to financial performance on slide 9, the overall picture is also very positive, with adjusted EBITDA up 5.7%. As previously mentioned, revenue grew by 3.2%, reflecting a surge in traffic and an increase in retail and ancillary revenue streams, enabling us to deliver better value for our passengers and airlines. On the cost side, our cost efficiency program continues to deliver strongly, and in terms of balance sheet, the regulatory asset base growth picked up in the last few months, reflecting higher inflation. It's worth reminding that our RAB is RPI linked, and we have seen an increase of over 1 percentage point since December 2016. In terms of net debt, the relative movement in Heathrow SP and Heathrow Finance reflect the continuation of our previously discussed short-term initiatives to minimize interest costs over the balance of the year, which I will touch on in more detail shortly. Slide 10 provides more insight on our strong revenue performance. Worth reminding that 60% of our revenue comes from aeronautical income, and our results demonstrate that we continue delivering better value for passengers while delivering outstanding service standards, with average aeronautical income per passenger down 2.1% year on year. In absolute terms, aeronautical income was up 0.9%, driven by traffic, but also offset by the effects of our tariff formula as discussed and yield dilution. From a retail perspective, retail performance continues to be strong, reflecting a greater airside participation. We saw 2 percentage points of additional traffic participating in our retail proposition and higher spend per participating passenger. All of this generated that retail income is up £43 million year-on-year, or 6.4% on a per-passenger basis. In addition to strong traffic, of course, sterling depreciation since June 2016 continued to boost retail performance. It's more attractive for foreign passengers to buy at Heathrow, particularly in duty and tax-free and airside specialist shops, although there has been some moderation in this trend since the anniversary of the EU referendum back in June. Catering also saw a great performance in Q3, driven by management action, driven by the redevelopment of our Terminal 5 food proposition, which now includes a new Itsu, or a Pret a Manger, as well as an increase, which is also increasing passenger participation overall. Finally, it's not just in Terminal 5 where we are focusing. Terminal 4 has been also a significant improvement this year, and we have been redeveloping our luxury stores, which we completed last year, but now we are starting to see the benefits coming from that investment. It's worth mentioning that given the regulatory single deal construct, every additional pound we make in the retail proposition will help making our service to passengers more affordable in the years to come. Moving on to slide 11, in the period we saw the outcomes of our continuous robust cost discipline, and as you can see, our operating costs declined by 0.6% while welcoming an extra 1.8 million passengers and maintaining record passenger service. This is equivalent to a cost reduction of 3.6% on a per-passenger basis. When looking at the different components of costs, starting from people, people costs were higher overall in the financial period due to a pay rise effective from July, as well as seeing the continuation and implementation of some voluntary severance schemes across the various operational areas, which will enable future savings and managing higher passenger numbers while maintaining high service standards and resilience. Offsetting these key areas driving savings, on the other hand, were operational costs, maintenance costs, and other costs. The benefit that we have crystallized this year are coming from various contract renegotiations, including the renegotiation contract with NATS, our air traffic control service provider, and lower insurance claims received during the year, as well as a decrease driven by the start of capitalizing expansion-related costs rather than expensing them following government support last year. We saw higher utility costs reflecting the one-off benefit we saw last year of a significant credit release, which is linked with a major renegotiation of a major contract of the provision of electricity distribution infrastructure back in 2016. Overall, we are on track to deliver over £600 million efficiencies by 2018. And we expect the remaining savings will come from additional actions associated with energy demand management, recurring savings from major contract renegotiations that we have done this year, as well as implementation of full-year benefits from organizational changes that we continuously doing to unlock and to increase productivity across the campus. Looking at slide 12, the strong operating performance we had in the period generated over £1.3 billion of cash from operations, which represents a rise of over 8% versus last year. This cash generation was sufficient to fund all our capital investment, external cash interest costs, swap accretion, as well as dividends paid to our shareholders in the first 9 months of the year. In the period, our capital expenditure reached £491 million, which is almost 3% higher than last year, and has been focused on asset replacement program as well as investment to improve passenger experience and airport resilience across the campus. This cash flow profile, of course, reflects a lower investment phase, also reflecting the maturity of the asset, characteristic of a period just before expansion. Taking into account all other outflows in the period, net debt increased just over £530 million since the end of 2016 to a total balance of £12.4 billion, which is largely driven by a temporary use of Class A and B debt to repay loan facilities at both Hydro Finance and ADI Finance 2 Limited. This was the driver of net restricted payments being as high as £727 million, of which only £272 million went directly to fund £281 million to shareholder dividends in the year to date. As discussed in our H1 results, the use of Class A and B debt to minimize interest payments across the group led to a temporary increase in our Class A and B ratios, which we expect to unwind by year end. Turning to slide 13 illustrates the robustness of our balance sheet in terms of gearing. As you can see, the Class A and B gearing ratios have increased, as alluded to just now, but remain comfortably below the respective trigger levels. At Hydro Finance, specifically, the 86.1% gearing is slightly higher than at the end of 9 months 2016, as we simplify the capital structure by absorbing a significant part of ADI Finance 2 legacy debt of £310 million, now within Hydro Finance PLC. Finally, a review of what has been another great year of successes in raising debt on slide 14. In the year, we have raised over £700 million of Class A debt, and we complemented this activity with implementation of the steps required to simplify the Heathrow's debt financing from four to three layers. As always, I would like once again to take this opportunity to thank all the credit community for your continued support in our capital market activities. Looking at the mix of the debt, worth mentioning a few features. Our current average life of debt stands now at 11.6 years, while our liquidity position, taking into account, among other things, over £2 billion of undrawn debt and cash resources, now extends to September 2019, which is 6 months after Brexit deadline. So a really robust position to be at this time of the year. Overall, we remain very encouraged by the continued strong global support for the Heathrow credit across multiple markets, and this gives us great confidence in the context of financing expansion. We expect our financing needs for the months to come to remain modest until the expansion construction phase kicks off. And in the short term, in particular, we expect our 2018 debt financing targets to be similar in scale to 2017. So wrapping up financials on slide 15, before moving into this more strategic developments, I just want to mention that recent traffic continues outperforming expectations, reaching over 77.4 million for the 12 months to September. And if these trends persist for the remainder of the year, we anticipate a modest upside to the forecast of our 2017 adjusted EBITDA of 1.735 million that was published back in our June investor report. So let's now take a look to some recent strategic developments. You are now familiar with our four strategic priorities, and behind this, there's a very simple but effective philosophy. Engage people, transforming our customer service is reflected in better results, and over time is building our license to grow. And this is what we call Mojo, transforming customer service, beating the plan, and sustainable growth. So on slide 18, you have seen some of the highlights where we have been doing in the last few months and we are planning to do in the next few months. Starting with Mojo, at the end of the day, we are all working on making Heathrow a great place to work and our colleagues to be part of Team Heathrow, building careers rather than just having jobs at Heathrow. Well-being and safety continues being our top priority, and the opening of a new occupational health facility means that colleagues across the campus are now able to see doctors, nurses or physios in a modern, welcoming and professional fitting. Among other recent initiatives, we have launched a green card salary sacrifice scheme as we continue embedding sustainability in our ways of working. And looking ahead, it's worth flagging that Heathrow will announce shortly the rollout of the London Living Wage for colleagues and supply chain over the coming year. Moving into customer service, we are embracing further the digital era with the trial of our food and beverage pre-order apps. We are also very pleased to reach an agreement with Transport for London that will improve access to Heathrow and deliver more Crossrail services, including now Terminal 5 from 2019, enhancing sustainable transport options available to passengers. Looking to the future, we have agreed now new service levels with our supplier to transform the service provided to passengers with reduced mobility, and this will go live in the coming weeks. Starting to beat the plan, over the summer we have worked on delivering a better experience for our leisure passengers. Now Kids Go Free was one of the flagship initiatives to help families getting closer to their summer adventure. We also continue improving our back office processes with what we call Simpler Heathrow, which is aiming to make colleagues' ways of working easier across the campus, as well as simplifying systems and moving back offices back to digital era. Looking ahead, we will be opening a personal shopping lounge in Terminal 3 in the coming months, as well as starting additional services to China. Finally, and turning to sustainable growth, very busy agenda in the last months. We are making sure sustainability is embedded across all colleagues. Sustainability is a way of working rather than just an activity, and that starts with training for all our senior managers. We are also delivering our commitments to improve domestic connectivity, and we are pleased by the announcement of additional services to Inverness starting in the months to come. Specifically on expansion, I have mentioned a few of these points earlier, include the submission of our response to the CA consultation on expansion, as well as the start of the Transport Select Committee scrutiny on the draft national policy statement. And in the meantime, of course, we are getting ready to launch the first of our two consultations in the months to come. So as you can see, a very busy agenda, but overall, we are on track on delivering expansion. So I hope that gives you a good flavor of what has been the performance operationally, and financially and strategically. And this concludes my presentation describing what I hope that you agree is a very robust set of results in 2017. So I will now take questions from participants on the conference call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now to end. Once again, if you have a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now. We go over to the line of Neil Molina of JB Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good afternoon. Two very short questions. The first one is on cargo, in which you are performing very strongly. Is it possible, you know, are you able to expand your cargo capacity in Heathrow? Could that change your CapEx plans on the back of this very strong performance? And also related to cargo, in terms of pricing, that's fully regulated, or given the strength of the demand, there is something that you can do on the pricing front in cargo? And the second question is a boring accounting one. There is a gap between the tax charge on the P&L and the actual cash outflow, which is roughly 50% of the tax charge. Is that something sustainable in the future? Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel. So starting from cargo, I think cargo is absolutely critical in terms of what we do, but the reality is that this is a business that we enable. Cargo operates in our facilities, but it's a business that, again, we are working very closely with cargo to provide the right facilities, but that business doesn't flow through our P&L.
Okay.
Therefore, in terms of pricing, it's an activity that is not directly regulated by us, apart from, of course, the aircraft movement associated with it. In terms of future plans, of course, cargo is an absolute critical activity for Heathrow as a global hub, and we're working very closely with cargo companies to make sure that in an expanded Heathrow, the UK have the facilities that we need to connect with the rest of the world. But again, it's something that we will continue providing more details in the years to come.
Okay.
Moving to the exciting accounting question, which I think is fantastic that quarter after quarter you keep us, Miguel, keeping in our toes on the accounting practices. Effectively, this is related with the timing of the cash flow. Normally, we pay 50% of the tax bill in the following year, and that's exactly why the calculations that you have done are exactly right. So effectively, we accrue for the whole year, but we pay with 50% arrears in the year to come.
Okay.
Thank you.
If anyone has any further questions at this stage, please do press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now, and there'll be a further pause while any further questions are being registered. Javier, at this stage, there seem to be no further questions in the queue. May I please pass it back to you for any closing comments?
Thank you very much, Hugh. Well, I just wanted to, I hope that the lack of questions is an illustration that the facts are talking by themselves. We have seen a very strong performance in the 9 months to come. As always, in these occasions, I especially want to thank you again for your time, but more importantly, for the support that you constantly giving us in our financing activities. Considering that the next time we will get together will be February in our full year results, I would like to get across the first Christmas celebrations, and I wish you a very happy Christmas, happy New Year, and hopefully I'll see you in February next year. Thank you all. Take care.
This now concludes today's call. Thank you all very much for attending, and you can now disconnect.